I guess we should try to turn to, in the week you've had here, what some of your thoughts have. Because yes, and I agree, it's a really lovely orchestra, a really responsive and caring and beautiful orchestra. So, what would hopes and dreams be of you and this orchestra and things you could do?
That's a great question. And let me first say that I'm very impressed with the search process. Like, it's so well designed, and I really trust the process. And I know that this process will bring the right guy or girl forward, you know, for the orchestra. It's very well designed. And in that whole design, I feel so welcome here. I feel like part of the organization. I don't feel like a stranger. I don't feel like I'm interrogated, or it doesn't feel like an interview. All these meetings with so many different people, with board, with staff, with executive committee, with sponsors, with donors. It's every single one of them has been an incredible pleasure. I felt like everybody's opening up, and I can be totally me. I don't want to, but I don't have to pretend either, you know? And it's a two-way street, right? I need to know the orchestra. I need to get to know the orchestra, and they need to get to know me and the organization. And this is happening this week in its full scope. And, you know, with boards, executive at staff meetings, we are brainstorming. We are not like, I don't have to answer the question, so what is your vision on programming, and how, what are your weaknesses and what are your strengths? And, you know, we are brainstorming. We are thinking together, how can we make this organization even better? How can we streamline? Let's do some soul searching, what we really want to do. And if I were to be the lucky one who gets this position, then we would start a process of, and I can never find this word, a strategic planning. We would start strategic planning right away for, I don't know, 10 years, make milestones, see what works, what can improve. So, what I really thought that would be really interesting for this orchestra is do more sectional rehearsals. And this comes from my own background, where as a cellist in the Netherlands Philharmonic, with difficult works, we would have sectional with only the strings or only the winds. Or even we would sit alone with the cellos, and the section leader would do a sectional with us. So that was for the big opera works, like the Strauss operas or the Wagner operas. And this builds confidence within the section or within the larger sections, you know, because you start to get to know each other differently than in the whole group. But also you actually use your time very efficiently, which is very important for a union orchestra.
Sure.
And then there was a very smart musician who said, you know, we could actually, we could, I suggested, let's then do 1 hour, 15 minutes before the break with only the strings. And then I don't need a break. Let's do right away 1 hour, 15 minutes with the wind. And this very smart musician said, you can actually do 1 hour, 15 minutes with the strings. Then you can take a 15-minute break, do 1 hour with the full orchestra, take a 15-minute break, and then do 1 hour, 15 minutes with the winds. So I work a bit more, but the effectiveness of these rehearsals would be amazing. So ever since he said that, I'm like, yeah, that's great. Let's do that. Let's utilize this time and get the most out of it, so that we get even better, a better ensemble. We become even a better ensemble.
Well, sure, because everybody always wishes there was one more rehearsal.
Exactly. Yeah.
For that.
And in Moscow, I'm in the luxury position of having 4 hour rehearsals, and there's two breaks of 20 minutes, but there's just a little more time to go into detail in the score, I'm just not used to 2.5 hours, of which 15 minutes is a break. So I feel a big pressure on how to. Time goes fast, you know, when you're. So, yeah.
Nice, and then And you said you've already been doing some brainstorming and strategic planning and things like that. And you mentioned this imaginative speed dating thing that you're doing and that you're going to be doing with your music festival. Are you already kind of getting some outside-the-box ideas running around in these rooms of things that an orchestra might do that nobody else is trying?
Yeah, is there a box?
There you go. Perfect.
But yes, when I told the some people in one of the meetings about this speed dating thing, we thought like, how can we use this maybe to bring orchestra, board, sponsors, staff, and leadership together, so there is more understanding. What does everybody do? Hey, I know this face. Hey, the board member is not a scary person who can make or break. No, it's somebody who supports us, somebody who loves us, somebody that donates time and money to make us to give us the opportunity to make beautiful music. So yes, I think there is for example, something we can do. Another thing, last night I had a chat with the whole orchestra or those who could stay. It was a wonderful evening after the rehearsal. So at 9:30 or 9:45 we started, and we were there until after 11, with great explorations about what would you guys want to do? Where are your wishes? What are your limitations? How do you feel about your position? Where do you see improvement? So again, this didn't become an interrogation, but it became a think tank of very knowledgeable and interested musicians who care for their jobs.
Nice. Arthur Arnold, who's going to be conducting Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. So I suppose we should probably be good kids here and talk a little bit about the concert that you were given. You were given these three pieces to play. Did you know the Poulenc Labiche?
Actually, that's the only one I chose.
Oh, you got to choose that. Yeah. Well, then tell us about why you chose that and what you love about it.
So I was told to do the Bartók Concerto for Orchestra and the Violin Concerto Saint-Saëns, third one. And we were first thinking about what Hungarian repertoire can we fit in, and I really wanted to do Dances of Galanta, Kodály, which is a gorgeous piece and lots of instrumental solos as well, but it had been played quite recently, so we continued thinking, and I thought why don't not go more French rather than Hungarian, and Labiche is a wonderful, basically a ballet composed or commissioned by Diaghilev and for Les Ballets Russes in Paris. And Diaghilev has commissioned a lot of pieces, as you know. One of the most famous ones he has been commissioning is the Rite of Spring, the Sacre du Printemps of Stravinsky. But also this Poulenc. And later I found out that actually Bartók Concerto for Orchestra met Diaghilev in Paris right around the time that he wrote these pieces. And actually Bartók came for lunch in Poulenc's house. With Eric Satie and Auric, Poulenc's friend, one of the Groupe de Six, the group of six, the composers who were somehow connected and supported each other, those six French composers in that turn of the century Paris. And so Bartók came there with Eric Satie, another French composer, and they did not know how to interact. They did not talk. It was very awkward, according to Poulenc's memoirs. And Poulenc and Auric tried to save the situation and talk. But Bartók and Poulenc had actually met right around the time that Poulenc wrote this wonderful piece. This is a ballet, obviously, written for Les Ballets Russes, the Russian ballet in Paris, and commissioned by Diaghilev. But he made it later on into an orchestral suite. And what is so nice about his music, and so actually so interesting about his music, it's very frivolous music and upbeat music and very easy to listen to and very energetic. But it also has five movements, like the Bartók Concerto for Orchestra. And it has also a lot of individual solos in the orchestra, like the Concerto for Orchestra. So they are mirrors of each other on the other side of the spectrum. And so it turned out to be a really incredible good choice to balance this program.
Well, that's a great thing that you just illuminated, because that issue of balancing a program, of having the diversity one presumes one needs, but still some sort of focus or some sort of commonality is always the question, isn't it?
Right. Program is an art in itself. Yeah. Programming is one of the most interesting, or not the most interesting, that's not true, but it's a very interesting part of the profession of being a conductor. And it's very important to make good programs. I mean, programs draw or don't draw people to the concert hall. And as musicians, we can be very selfish and just enjoy what we do, but we don't do it for ourselves. We make music for other people. We have to share our music. And music is such an incredible means of communication that I don't think, for me, there is no other form. And I can say art form, but really there's no other form of communication that goes so deep. We all seem to understand it. And I can even, via my cello, explain you why I think we understand it. But that doesn't matter now. When there is a tragedy in our lives, we go listen to music, or we gather together and sing together, or music is... it's really the oxygen for the soul. And we need music in society. I really cannot imagine life without music. We hear music all day long, everywhere. Sometimes too much, when you go in the grocery store and there's again music or sound. But some music and some players have the ability to touch you right deep inside, like an arrow in your heart, boom, you know? And this is what I think is the most important thing about our profession. I told the musicians yesterday, we don't know who's in our audience, who desperately needs our music. It gives an incredible responsibility to our jobs. We are the psychologists and psychiatrists of society. And it's a cheap way of it, right? You buy a concert ticket, cheaper than, well, that's aside.
No, yeah,
but you know what I'm saying, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, music is something that is so important. If we would realize the depth of what we were doing, we probably would run away if we know what kind of responsibility we have and how it would be without it. So programming, I mean, that was your question, is thinking about how can you feed other people. But it's also thinking about how can you program repertoire that your orchestra needs to grow, to attack certain problems that there might be in the ensemble. So certain repertoire will help for certain things and will manage to create better ensemble or better sound production, or, you know, so it's a combination between those two. But programming is also looking at the full season and see and make sure that you don't exhaust your orchestra. So if you had a very demanding, difficult week, make sure that you play something more easy the week after, so everybody can recover and we don't get all shoulder problems or embouchure problems. And, you know, so, well, you know that as a musician, how demanding that can be on the body or the spirit.
Yeah. Well, let's circle. I think this is a good time to circle back around to the Casals thing we were talking about. And so here's how we're going to do this. Arthur and I have been kind of figuring out the logistics. Don't leave yet. I think what we'll do, we have a YouTube thing of Casals speaking to the United Nations about his Song of the Birds, and there's a hum on it, and it'll only last for a minute and a half. Arthur, just stay in the room with me, and let's listen to this together, and then maybe talk a little bit more about it if you like, and then ask you to go out and, with your cello, play the Song of the Birds. Does that sound
sure,
okay?
Sure, yeah, yeah, okay, whatever works
so
for you.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to this, and we're going to hear Casals speaking as he received the United Nations Peace Medal.
Of the Catalan folklore. This piece is called The Song of the Birds. The birds in the space, sing peace, peace, peace.
So, yeah, there he was, the thing.
Yeah, it touches me every time. Mm-hmm. I can hardly talk now.
Well, then let's ask you to go out.
You know what it is? Well, give me a sec. Yeah. Just a simple
one. Yeah, that's right. Because we've just been hearing this, and
it's okay. It's totally okay. You know, we can laugh, we can cry. It's all part of human emotions. But when you hear him say peace, 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 with such an intention, you hear the longing. You hear this is a 95-year-old man who lives a long life.
And through the Spanish Civil War, and, among other things.
Exactly. And he feels the longing for peace and the importance of peace. And there is so much of not peace. And not only between countries or within countries, but within ourselves or within interhuman relationships, because we are scared or we are insecure or whatever. And this is why we make music. This is why it is so important.
So we'll ask you to do just that. Arthur Arnold, my guest, who is traveling with his cello, so a conductor that plays more than the baton, will send him to the studio. And this is a Catalan song that was so closely identified with Casals throughout his life and became a cello solo, and so we'll go into the other room, and now let's hear it played by Arthur Arnold.
Thank you.
from our studio. That was cellist Arthur Arnold, who walked in the room as conductor Arthur Arnold, but certainly bringing that element to it too. That yes, the utter necessity of music that you were able to channel just now. It's a real privilege, isn't it, to be a musician?
It's an incredible privilege. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are so lucky that, you know, we had this dream. Let me talk about me. I had this dream to become a musician from really small kid, to become a conductor. And it worked, right? I worked hard, but apparently I was given the ability to work hard. Mm. I was given the talent. It's never something that we can tap ourselves on the shoulder for. It's an incredible gift to be able to be a musician in life. And we've all had, no, I had my moments that I thought I can never do it, or will I ever be successful? And that's normal. But you just never give up. You should not. Every musician out there, never give up, guys. Just don't give up. Keep going, because one day you'll make it. And, you know, I've seen orchestras play where people lost their passion because it becomes work and it's repetitive. And it's very human to forget about what you have and how amazing it is. We want more, we want better, we want a new iPhone, you know, and the newest model and the quickest car. But when you think about what you have, sometimes I have to remind orchestras, why do we do this? And let's think back to the period when we worked so hard to win that mm-hmm. audition and to make it into the orchestra. Let's remind ourselves, because we need to do this. We need to give it to others. So yes, it's an incredible privilege, and I'm a very grateful man to live this life.
Arthur Arnold in town for this wonderful relational opportunity we're all having, and several aspects of this relational opportunity at 6:45 on Saturday night, and then I guess that would be 1:45 on Sunday afternoon. There will be kind of a short question and answer, and then right after that, 15 minutes later, is the actual pre-concert presentation in which you illuminate the music for people before conducting the Spokane Symphony, and those two concerts, 8 o'clock on Saturday night and 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, with the music of Poulenc and of Camille Saint-Saëns, with the young violinist Simone Porter. Simone Porter is her name, one of these amazing Seattle violinists. We have got a couple minutes. I don't know how much you know about the legacy of brilliant young Seattle violinists. They're never ending. Many, many, many that we keep encountering. There's a lot of great violin teaching going on in Seattle, because it's not only great teaching, but it's very healthy teaching, I think. And so there are so many brilliant young violinists that we see that come over here and win competitions and that come back. And
wonderful.
So it's a great legacy of the Seattle violin scene that we look out on. So you'll get to enjoy that when you meet Simone and do that.
I'm looking forward.
Yeah. So thanks for being here.